KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. On Saturday at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Fairbanks, Senator Mark Begich held a Senate Committee on Indian Affairs field hearing. Senator Lisa Murkowski and staff members were also present, and discussion involved health, viability, and food security. Leaders from the different Alaska Native regions testified, including Kuwerik President Melanie Banky, raised in Savunga. Banky said she was asked to explain the importance of traditions, families, and Native values as new policies are being developed to achieve sustainable communities. Banky said subsistence is critical for Alaska Native survival as individuals, families, and communities. She brought up the fact that the U.S. Congress ratified the U.N. Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, and in it, it states that in no case may a people be deprived of its own means of subsistence.
Unfortunately, rather than embracing the subsistence rights of Alaska Natives, we find that the federal and state governments, of which we are citizens, have figuratively declared a silent war on us as a people, using laws, regulations, policies, fines, and criminalization as weapons. Our battlefield has been in the halls of Congress, the state legislature, Board of Fish and Game meetings, and courtrooms.
Banky says Alaska Natives abide by the laws, regulations, and policies because they fully recognize themselves as citizens of the state of Alaska and the United States.
However, until our full rights to subsistence are restored, we remain prisoners of war in our own state, in our own country, denied the right to fully participate in the decisions that affect our survival as a people.
And how and in what way? Banky spoke of the complex, multi-jurisdictional policies enforced by agencies staffed, usually by individuals with little knowledge of the subsistence culture and need.
Who have assumed the authority to manage and control the natural resources on which we are completely dependent.
Banky spoke of the unique resources in the Bering Strait region, wildlife species that live in many different environments, and many migratory. Various congressional acts influence how they are managed.
Our Indigenous hunters and fishermen know that to change policies or regulations regarding allocations, bag limits, licenses, permits, and bird stamps, that he or she must approach the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Federal Subsistence Board, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Board of Fish, the Board of Game, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the National Park Service, or the International Whaling Commission, depending on the animal species.
Banky pointed out that Alaska's indigenous people were the first users, stewards, and managers of resources in Alaska.
We are now subjected to submitting proposals, submitting testimony, and commenting for 3 minutes to be engaged with managers, and are ultimately at the mercy of the decision makers, the majority of whom are not representative of Alaska Natives, nor are they knowledgeable of our subsistence culture.
Banky said that the state of Alaska, the federal government, and Alaska Natives all share a common goal of abundance for our resources. She said including Alaska Natives in decision-making processes is paramount in achieving that goal.
The actions of this state legislature, this state government, this Congress, and this administration stand to either perpetuate the genocide of a culture or to help ensure the survival of a people and the core of its identity. It is my hope that you be granted the strength, fortitude, and the will to ensure the latter. We look forward to working with you toward this end. Thank you, Senators, for allowing me to address you today. Igamse kayo ubikamse.
Those who attended the Senate hearing on Saturday all stood in response to Banky's address to the senators. Her 14-minute testimony will be found on the news page of our website at KNOM.org later today. A 40-year-old Norvik man who was shot and wounded by Alaska State Troopers last week has been charged with felony assault and weapons misconduct. Jeffrey Henry was shot Friday in the Northwest community after a standoff. Troopers Thursday took a report of a man walking around the community firing a gun. Kotzebue troopers flew to Norvik and said Henry took shelter in his home. At 4 in the afternoon Friday, Henry stepped out and troopers say he brandished a firearm and was shot. He sustained life-threatening injuries. And Alaska recently received its own safety card, made especially for Alaska Native women. The Arctic Sounder's Jillian Rogers reports screening for domestic violence is more and more shifting from face-to-face questioning to less confrontational practices. One of these methods is safety cards. These pocket-sized cards distributed by Futures Without Violence represent a transition from seeking disclosure to educating women on healthy and unhealthy relationships. The cards ask questions like, is my partner willing to communicate? And is my partner kind? They outline how unhealthy relationships impact health, and they provide steps for coping and seeking help. To download or order a free shipment of the cards, visit Futures Without Violence. Visit their website. And last week, the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development announced its 2013 reward schools. Nome's Anvil City Science Academy and Extension's correspondence appeared on the list not once but twice. The Academy received a Highest Performance Award and a High Progress Award. Only 19 schools in the state earned both distinctions. The reward school designation began this year. It stems from the Alaska School Performance Index, a state solution replacing the federal No Child Left Behind program. Rather than setting targets and imposing consequences like the federal system, the state measures progress through tests, attendance, and graduation rates. Based on this information, schools then write their own improvement plans, and this strategy encourages and recognizes advancement without repercussion. Eric Fry is the spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. He says this individual evaluation allows the state to recognize excellence across Alaska's range of institutions. The catalog of reward schools stands as evidence. Rural, urban, big, small, correspondence, charter, and specialty all appear on the list. But Fry says tests do not reveal why students in schools succeed. The people constructing the learning environments do.
The schools that are doing well on the tests are doing a lot of other things well. They probably have a safe environment and a welcoming environment and good staff and so forth, good support for kids. So the numbers on the test scores tell us how kids are doing, but they don't really get at the heart of what makes a good school.
Todd Heinemann, principal teacher for the Anvil City Science Academy, agrees. He attributes the Academy's achievements to motivated students, engaged parents, and a stable staff.
It's a team effort. It's us here at school. It's the kids and their motivation to do well. It's also the parents that are making sure that their kids are able to succeed.
Heinemann thanks parents for their support and says students should be proud of their accomplishments. And a look at the price of gold today, up $1.10 an ounce to $1,355 even. An ounce of silver's down 4 cents to $22.66. It's unofficially 36 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.